Good morning. Welcome to Retired Military Family. I am Dejada and I am here with my wonderful husband.
Oh, thank you for all that, right? I feel really good. I feel so blessed right now. Thank you so much. Thank you for giving me all that praise.
Is our first episode of Retired Military Family where we talk about all the things that have to do with being out of the military, being retired, and having a family.
I mean, it's not easy, and I think that goes into certain pockets because for us, we're in a different category. So we're able to do a lot that equivalents that serve 20 plus years can do. So we're in a different bucket right now.
We are. Like, how many years have you been retired from the Marine Corps?
I've been retired for 14 years. I retired when I was 27 years old.
Wow. And in some cases, some people's career is just starting and you were transitioning out.
Like there's individuals that go into the Marine Corps at the age of 29, and I remember seeing that from my time. But in hindsight and looking at it, with a new person coming in, there's someone getting out. That's just how it works. That's just how those numbers work.
This is true. So, 14 years. How does it
14.
feel?
I still miss it, but I think that right now I'm in the better mindset of understanding more of the opportunities that I'm afforded at this point. That I can do particular tasks a lot more streamlined than before in my younger years.
That makes sense. I'm curious, has anybody ever asked you, because you were so young when you retired from the military, what your rating is?
No, actually, I noticed that people like talking about themselves, right? And like that's from a selfish point of view. When someone says, "Hey, so, are you still in?" And I said, "No, I'm retired now." And they just leave it right there. It's really funny, right? Because they're looking at me like,
Okay,
"Hey,
bye
yeah." They're like, "Oh, you look so young," but they don't cross into that. They basically say, "Hey, I know somebody that's retired or some family that's retired."
now.
I'm like, "All right, that's cool. That's cool. I don't care." In a nice way, in a very nice way, I don't care.
Oh, noted. Okay, so in the time that you were in the Marine Corps, I know that I only got to be around you when you were in North Carolina. But prior to North Carolina, Japan was your first duty station?
Yes, I was in Okinawa.
How was Japan?
Even with me being retired now, I still miss it. It's like, for example, like talking to you, and unfortunately, no one can see this, but it's like going to Hawaii. Going to Hawaii, it's that feel of the Pacific, the
Yes.
weather, the opportunities that are out there, and just getting involved. That I miss, but really more so of the people that I was with. That's what I miss, is the people that I was able to work with and work for.
Yeah, that sounds like a family before you had a family. Before you had your own family, let me say it that way.
In a odd way, we had rules, even though it wasn't disclosed. When we were there, we never talked about family. We never talked about that. We're all who we have amongst us, amongst all of us. This is what we have, and we have to make something out of it.
Okay, so you went from Japan to North Carolina. That's where we got married. That's where Dejada enters the picture. And then retired. after serving in North Carolina, and then we moved to Texas, which was fantastic for somebody who we, I mean, you're raised in Texas. I lived in Texas briefly. And as a retiree, how did you like Texas?
It was that's a loaded question.
I'm sorry.
No, really, it is because it's when I left, I saw everyone where they were. And then when I came back, I saw everyone still in that same place
When
of
you
where
say
they were.
everyone, who are you referring to?
I'm referring to my family,
Oh, okay. Okay.
right?
Okay.
Like, so when I left, I saw everyone here in this pocket. And then when I returned, everyone was still in that same pocket, right? So I'm looking at it as, hey, where's the progress? I don't see it. So, I just stayed, I kept my head down and stayed focused on what I was attaining. At that time, I was still in school, to get my first degree, and I had to stay focused in what I was doing.
Just so y'all know, this man has like 10 degrees. So, he's like Dr. Corporal retired.
That was the goal initially when I was still in the military, because I was able to do so much, and I had other non-commissioned officers come up to me and say, hey, so you're going to get a doctorate? Because during that end point of me knowing that, hey, this is what's going to happen on my separation, I started going to school. Right? I started using tuition assistance, which is a great tool for individuals that are active duty. Use your TA because that TA takes away from spending that time on your GI Bill when you get out. So, I was using tuition assistance, which was free, and I was going to school for free. And it was talked about, I was talked about like, hey, he's going to have a he's going to be Dr. Corporal. I don't think you can have two titles stacked on top of each other. I don't think you can, right?
They also have a version of tuition assistance for military spouses. I used it while we were in North Carolina, and I cannot remember the name of the program, but I know it was under the Military OneSource umbrella, and it allowed me to get my associate's degree in human resources.
Good.
And that was I don't think I'd ever been able to get that if it wasn't for that program.
Yeah, there are programs out there. You just have to know what to look, well, have an understanding and the hunger to search for it. You have to
True.
search for it, find it, and utilize it,
So
right?
speaking of that, I don't know if you saw, I was on social media and I saw that the VA has released their 2025 resource, veterans resource guide. It came out Thursday, January 16th. I feel like that thing is going to be chock full of these resources that you talk about that people, don't look
Yeah,
into.
they skip on you like the best things in life are worth reading about, right? Like you like the show, you like seeing Michael Jordan. But you don't see the hard work that he did in the backcourt of what it took for him to get there, right? Like what kind of exercises was he doing and things like that, right? His knowledge of the game. That's the same thing with utilizing military resources. And I can't say it's military grade, it's just common sense. Right? Just use these tools as is given to you, right? And understand what's there. And if you don't know, ask. Ask.
Yeah, I
Because you
think
put place in somebody else to work.
true. I think that I didn't think to look up resources until after we had our daughter because I wanted to understand for myself what we were afforded to. After the fact, because like we didn't have a kid while you were active duty, and a
No.
lot of our friends did.
Yeah.
And so they knew a lot more than we did. And because you're retired, that also puts us in a unique situation with our daughter. And so now I follow everything because I want to know what's changing legislation wise, what resources we can use as we raise our little one. And I find it very beneficial when you start to ask questions.
Ask questions. If you really want to know, ask. And ask anybody, right? Ask someone that doesn't know, because now you're forcing them to go and find out.
Yeah. And so that's what we're going to do on this podcast. We're going to go and ask questions. We're going to talk to the VA. We're going to talk to other retirees, veterans. Maybe we can talk to some active duty every now and then, but our focus is more so when you're about to get out and not so much while you're still in, because there is somebody you can talk to when you're still in.
Yeah.
There's at least five or six people.
Yeah. It's saying that we're a virtual mentor, right? To a degree where we're addressing these particular things, and having a mentor is always good. It's always good from someone that's been there and done that. For us, we've been there and done that and got the t-shirt. Right?
Yeah, definitely.
So,
and you know, it's crazy. Next month, we will be celebrating 16 years.
Yeah, it's been 16.
Being married.
Yeah.
And I feel like I didn't start really understanding the retiree lifestyle until about 7 years ago.
Mm. Okay.
And when did you get your rating, your increase?
To where I am, I got that, I believe it was in 2019 or 2020.
Okay.
Right. I got my first rating when I first was elected to retire. Hey, you're going to, this is the Marine Corps. Hey, you are going to retire. Forget everything else. You give up these opportunities, this is what's going to happen to you. Then I went back when we moved out here to DC from Texas. I got my rating in 2019, 2020, because I didn't know too much of what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of figured out something, right, by asking questions.
Yeah.
And then I placed in and got it. And now we're here right now.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but like, as far as that's concerned, like, you know, it's the going the VA route, that's something particular in itself. It's a good tool to have, and it's something just to place out to everyone, right? Like, every individual in the military, right? It's not just the Marine Corps. Everyone in the military, you are the CEO of self, right? So when you separate from the military, you're going to be eligible or rate certain types of separation packages when you get out, right? Now, you think of a CEO when they retire and go to something else, they have this very extended package by receiving this many shares of this stock and this much money and separation pay and all that stuff. Okay, that's the same thing for you. When you get out, you rate these particular things, but it's because you have your heart set on your ethics. Your ethics. And it's not saying that you're giving up your ethics. You stick to those ethics. But you do rate these particular things. You do, out of your service. And don't give up on yourself and say, oh, well, I'm taking away from someone else. Well, dummy, you're giving up on yourself by not asking for it. So it'd be less of it. Think about, how can I say it? Like a government program, right? a government program for a particular project, when you don't ask for that project, you think the government is going to give money for that project to continue on? No.
No, I can definitely say for the federal agency that I work for, if you don't spend that money, we're going to roll it up.
You're going to roll it up
next time.
There you go. And that's the same thing with your benefit. If you don't say anything, the government is going to leave that behind because it's, no one is interested in it. Oh, what stopped it? Your ethics, because you think you're taking away from somebody else.
So you said when you got to DC, that's when you decided to have your VA, is it claim, like re-looked at, or, you know?
I did.
Okay.
Long story short, it was an entire series of things that I had to do, but it was cool for me because I had access, and I went to, what do you call it? MTF. Yeah, I went to the local MTF.
Military Treatment Facility.
Yes. Like, I went to Walter Reed and I got looked at for particular things. So, yes, I was poked, plugged, and prodded. Okay. So, and seeing the extent of damage that was in my body. So, you know, that's the process.
So now that we live here in D.C. and D.C. versus Texas, and I know Texas had a large contingent of your family, and we moved to D.C. Illuminate might be modest, but we moved here for me because I got a job and I was like, I'd really like to live in D.C.
You said that when we was in the military.
I did say it.
You did say
that. But you was like, nah, go sit down somewhere.
Yeah, for the most part, because it was all about sustainability.
True. Right,
like, because at the time when we transitioned, you want to move to DC, you know how expensive that is?
No, I don't.
Right? Like, I was just looking at it like, no, we can't afford that. No. So, yeah.
But I think the route we took, not even, yeah, the route we took was great because it introduced me from Kentucky to another large city.
Yeah, it was. And very then, dense.
Yeah. And then from Austin to DC, I was more prepared for that transition. And I was actually just so happy that I'd gotten the internship with NASA that I was like, okay, now I can utilize my degree to its fullest extent.
Man, you know what? That transition going from Texas to DC, I could tell you what, in getting here to DC, I felt like a country bumpkin. I did. I felt like I was the first guy on the Beverly Hillbillies. And like, because everyone is moving fast. And mind you, we came from Austin.
Yeah.
Austin, when it was going through a boom, Austin used to be just a college town. That's all it was. And then things started happening when you had places like tech started getting really big out there and stuff like that. But in looking at that, you know, people move fast, people talk fast, right? And the way I was raised from Texas, when you talk fast, that means you're lying.
We are not calling y'all liars. The people who talk fast.
Yeah. Yeah. So like that's what it was. It was a big transition for myself.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
I can definitely see that. But we did have fun when we first got here.
I mean,
still having fun now, but you know, a lot more responsibilities got tacked on. So with the transition to DC and from Texas, and then getting your ratings increased, how does that look today? Like, how do you feel about that?
That has you in a different category as far as thinking, and I'll say it in a funny way. At least it's funny to me, right? once you get a rating and you're at 100%, right?
If you work for someone who's like, just say one thing and I'm gonna quit.
This is why I don't like retirees.
Yeah, like, I'm waiting for you to mess up, right? Like, it's just a different mindset. But, like, I love it. I love that mindset, and it's been good to me. But at the same time, I got to make sure that what I'm taking from it, what I'm taking from the cup, I got to put it back in. Right? Like, to my university, I was a guest speaker at my university for the commencement speech and things like that, doing for others. That is more of my setting right now. I want to see other people get over the fence.
Yeah, not gatekeeping knowledge. And that is really what this podcast is all about. It is about informing you to the resources and tools that are out there to help enhance your life.
Yes.
Your life is probably fantastic.
It is.
But there are some things you can do if you are veteran or veteran adjacent like myself, that where you can access certain resources and tools to kind of help you in your day-to-day life. Yeah. And it's out there. So, you know, why not use it? And we're going to talk about all of that on this season of our podcast. We are going to individually talk to you all about our own personal journey as we have transitioned from active duty service to retiree to moving to traveling around the world to living in DC, advocating for ourselves and our family. We're going to talk about it all on this podcast because it's important.
Yeah, you can do it all because you already paid your buck 05. And to anyone that knows about that reference, you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? To those that have served in and out of that timeline, right? You have paid your buck 05. And it goes well when you make yourself or write yourself a plan of actions and milestones. I call them poems. My master gunnery sergeant used to tell me that all the time. Hey, you're about to do this. What is your plan of actions and milestones? What are you going to do to get here to your goal? And what are going to be the actions that you're going to provide in order to successfully do it? So, you know, like write yourself a poem anytime you're presented with a challenge.
Absolutely.
A good plan works for those that definitely carry it out.
Yeah, absolutely. So my individual sessions with y'all on the podcast will be called Unwind, and we'll talk about my military spouse journey and what it is like supporting the retiree as we make these multiple transitions throughout our life.
Yeah. And, like, I have a podcast that I'll be posting as well. It's called Coffee and Feels. Just because coffee is just a hobby of mine, I just like to make it. And somehow I have been recruited to be the household barista. I don't know if that's something good or not. I just know that my wife wants coffee when I make it.
Yeah, because today I had to make my own coffee.
Oh, well, you know what? That's you didn't ask. Okay? Like, so.
And so I guess if coffee is his hobby, then wine is mine. No. So, yes, I hope you've enjoyed our first episode of the Retired Military Family Podcast, and hopefully you'll join us for future episodes where we dive deep into
deep into the gullet
that retiree lifestyle.
Okay.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Retired Military Family Podcast. We hope you found our discussion insightful and helpful as you navigate life after military service.
If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review. Your feedback helps us improve and reach more listeners like you. And if you have any questions, topics you'd like us to cover, or personal stories you'd like to share, feel free to reach out to us on social media or at hello@retiredmilfamily.com. Thank you for being part of our retired military family.